I'd want to move on now to something completely different, but this is an incredible story. It comes at the time when Labour's Jeremy Corbyn has pledged to increase carers' allowance if the party get back into power. He described people who care for vulnerable relatives as unsung heroes. The £10 weekly increase would bring carers' allowance into line with the Job Seekers' Allowance. Now, at the weekend, I'm not sure if you heard this. If you didn't, we're going to play you a clip from it now. If you want to hear the full thing, head to the website bbc.co.uk/Radio Ulster and look for On Your Behalf with Linda McCauley. On that programme, Linda spoke to a 92-year-old lady called Jenny, and Jenny looked after her 58-year-old son, Martin, who has Down syndrome, until his recent move into a residential care home.
He was born on Christmas Day.
That must have been a lovely Christmas surprise.
Was some surprise indeed.
Was he the first
and
second
he was
third?
Born at lunchtime too.
Got in the way of the turkey. He had a good childhood and was fit and able and running around and lots and lots of hobbies.
He loved it. Everybody loved him. But he was whenever we went to Spain and all, he was in the water with all the rest of them.
So he was
playing.
Holidays and everything away.
Of course, you took him everywhere. We went to Blackpool a lot, at the time you always go every year.
Because he loved dancing.
He loved bowls. And seeing whenever we went down to the hall there and he got a strike, he would stop. see, there were all old people then. And he just put the arms up and shouted hooray because he got a strike, you know. We went to Memphis, you know. Martin and I was 60 then.
To Graceland?
We went with the Gateway Club. Martin won the thing to go. Uh-huh. Well, we went over there and we were through Elvis's house.
Graceland.
And we went to everything about Elvis, the car, I'd seen the gold car and everything. We had a great time there.
So we travelled
Martin
everywhere.
And I together went together. But it was, I was 60 then. It was a wee bit lonely for me. But then it was all English people there in the bus. I was the only Irish one there. You see, all I had to do was say, you're Irish and you would have got lifted like it. But I was a wee bit not pushy. I wouldn't push it.
Martin was there to
But everybody,
have fun.
He loved it. And I was afraid of losing. You know, if he went away, I said, oh, here, somebody will take him. You know the way you'd be afraid. And if he went, there was a couple of people on the bus. We made great friends with some people. You know, other people from England, and it was lovely. What a lovely time.
So he was fit in those days, and he talked to you. Now, when I was here a few weeks ago, he really couldn't say a lot. You said to him, who am I? And he said, mummy. But he wasn't talking. In his younger days, was he chatty and fun?
He could have told you everything.
And
but
then things,
then
as he got older.
Then just went away altogether. Now, yesterday, I was surprised. I went every day down to the beaches to see him.
To visit him. Yes, because when I was here the last time, he was just about to go into the beaches. You were upset about it. Because you said to me, you'd said all your days, over my dead body, I'll look after him as long as I have breath in my body. And yet, in your heart, you knew.
You had to let him go.
How long had you been thinking about it?
Breaks my heart.
You didn't want to do it?
No, I didn't want to go.
No. And yet, when it came to that night, now you're sitting holding your Bible at the moment, and I know you all that night you were feeling, what am I doing?
I know I'm doing the right thing. But in the end of it all, I can't be selfish and keep him for myself. I had to think about the family and get him settled before anything happens to me. Do you understand?
I do.
That's the way I had to look at that. I had to do that so that everything would be all right whenever I passed away.
Is that the way of us all? We want to leave everything right for people behind us, don't we?
That's true.
But what about you? I mean, that night before you knew he was going to go to the residential home, you found a verse that helped you.
I found a wonderful verse. I got this wee book out and I said, now read this wee book. And I'm sitting crying my eyes out. See that verse there? I'll just tell you what it said. It says, entrust your loved ones to me. Release them into my protective care. They are much safer with me than in your clinging hands.
Yes, that was a comforting verse to find, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was like, wonderful. Like, I was pleased.
Gave you a bit of peace.
Oh, it did. Oh, it definitely helped me a good bit.
The thing is that they put a name on people like you. They call you carers, you know, and there's a kind of a word that you're doing something like a job, a special thing, and you're looking after people. In many ways, you were just doing what a mother does.
That's right. Of course. That's what the way you should look after your
just for a bit longer.
You know, you feel lonely without him, really, really, really lost without him. But it had to be done. I can't be selfish. You know what I mean? Look after, think of myself. That's the way you have to look at things.
Absolutely incredible story from Jenny there, and of course Linda McCulley interviewing her for On Your Behalf. So we've heard that Labour would increase the money paid to carers in GB, but is it enough? And what is the situation facing carers here in Northern Ireland? The CEO of Positive Futures, which provides support to families, is Agnes Lunn. And she joins me now. Or is it Agnes Lunn? I should have asked beforehand, Agnes.
Agnes Lunny.
Lunny, sorry. I was wrong on both counts. It really does tug at your heart when you hear someone like Jenny and what she's gone through, the amount of love and effort that she's put into raising her son, and then that difficult decision when he had to go into care.
That's right. And the truth of it is, Vinnie, as I said on Saturday, Jenny is not the exception. She's an exceptional woman in many ways, but there are families up and down Northern Ireland today as we speak in a very similar situation. Because the reality is, and what we should be very proud of and celebrate, is that people with learning disabilities, autism, acquired brain injury, because of advances in medicine and better support, are living longer. And that's wonderful. But so also other carers. Because the majority of people are still cared for by mum and dad. And we're talking lifelong carers. I think it's important to make that distinction.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people caring in Northern Ireland, but people like Jenny have been caring since the day and hour your child is born. And in some instances now, that's in going into the fifth and sixth decade and beyond.
Some people might be surprised to hear that the carers allowance is currently lower than the job seekers allowance. Is that a problem for carers in Northern Ireland?
A number of problems, Vinnie, and really as I was listening to carers, because they are so selfless, as you heard from Jenny about their task, the money bit comes down to the, you know, it comes at the end of a list. The reality is the issues that families talk about most is the isolation they face, the stress they face, the fact they feel forgotten. I think that's what Jeremy Corbyn talked to me yesterday, described them yesterday as unsung heroes, and that's exactly what they are. But they're getting on and doing as Jenny says. They believe, many carers believe, it's their lot in life. But we know that people are ill, and people are ill because of the caring role. So we've got to ensure that people are supported. And yes, of course, it's a measly sum, £62.
And, £62 and 70 pence per week.
That's right, that's right.
And that's right. This quite often will be something, a role that you play, and you can't just go out and get another job. You can't necessarily work full-time, part-time. This can be your life.
In many instances, Vinnie, because of the lack of support, people have to give up their jobs. You know, we have a number of carers who had worked in full-time jobs, teaching jobs, nursing jobs.
Yeah.
They've had to give up their jobs to care and support their sons and daughters.
Well,
when they achieve the age of 60, the carers allowance stops. It stops.
So what happens then?
Well, you know, that's a question that carers ask. What happens then? You know, if the allowance that you receive is greater than the state pension, my understanding is that the allowance then stops.
So then you're meant to care for that person on your state pension.
Yeah. But so as I said, the money bit, Vinnie, is in the eyes of carers, the money bit,
of course,
is less important by far.
Of course, but
isolation. But
also though, as well, Agnes, it's something that, unfortunately, it makes the world go around, and to have a certain level of comfort, you have to do that, because
right.
We're looking at the money that they get, but we could also look at the money that they save the government, because they are looking after, they are doing the job that in some other circumstances where that care wasn't available, the government would do, and it would cost a hell of a lot of money.
That's right. I mean, when we launched our carers charter, Positive Futures launched a carers charter, which it developed. We developed in partnership with older carers following a project that we had funded by Big Lottery. And in that charter, we talk about, you know, it's over £4 billion saved in Northern Ireland, because if the carers aren't there to care, then government would have to do the caring. So it doesn't make any sense at all not to care and not to support older carers, because, as you say, they are saving government a fortune.
Well, let's move off the money briefly, Agnes, because these are people, they're real people, and I know you can't go into details of names or anything like that, but give us an idea of the type of people that are caring. So we've got the likes of children, parents, you know, grandparents, spouses.
Yeah, I mean, we have people caring for children right through until those children become adults. And we have, you know, there's carers, there's brothers and sisters caring, there's aunts and uncles caring, there are, but largely the responsibility for caring falls on a parent. And as people get older, it's often a single parent. I mean, we have a lovely man in Lisburn whose wife died, and he was supporting his daughter, who had a learning disability and a physical disability. Now, losing her mum was one thing, but she also lost the opportunity to go out.
Yeah.
Because you know, she couldn't be supported by dad because she needed to go to the toilet. She couldn't get that support. The toilets weren't accessible. You know, two grown people can't go into a toilet.
Well, this is it. It does take over. It consumes your life to an extent.
It consumes your whole life.
I know there are elements of respite that you can get, But Vinnie, it's not something you can ever step away from. It's not like when you go to work during the day and you clock off at 5 o'clock, you go home and that's to the back of your mind. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, very often it's 24 hours. You know, I know carers who get very little sleep because, again, of the demands that if somebody wakes up, particularly a child wakes up in the night, that's them up for the rest of the day. And maybe they do their caring for 3 or 4 hours and then you know, come to work. So, you know, those are the things that it's endless. It's absolutely endless. These carers do it with a heart and a half. And the reality is, you talk here about short breaks and respite, but we know report after report in Northern Ireland says we have far less than we need. The demand has far outstripped the supply in terms of short breaks. And often that's what families want. Families want so very little, so very little. When we did that project, we did a report, the Ulster University evaluated the project, and what the carers were saying was they described what we were doing as a lifeline. And we were doing very little, but it was enough to keep those families together.
I want to bring in Adrian Peltz at this point, commentator and occasional carer.
Yes.
Adrian, it's difficult to hear Agnes talk about this because if we're not affected by it ourselves, it's easy to put it to the back of our minds and think, well, that affects other people. But we never know when we will be. There's quite a good chance that we will become dependent on someone, or we will be in that same position ourselves.
Exactly. I think it's important to remember that you're only ever one tragedy or accident away from potentially having your whole life turned upside down and either being a carer or needing, requiring care. And, you know, I went through this myself. I was in my late 20s, and I didn't expect at that age that I would be having to, you know, take on the caring responsibilities for a parent when my mum suddenly became incredibly ill, and it wasn't something that I had planned for. You assume that your parents are always going to be the ones looking after you, and suddenly there was this role reversal, and I found it quite isolating, and it's an incredibly convoluted process actually trying to navigate the benefit system when you are somebody who's never really had to think about this before, you know. And what I found really upsetting was that the carer's allowance, you can only get it if you do 35 hours a week of caring. And as I'm sure anyone who's done caring will tell you, that's only 5 hours a day. And when you're providing up to, you know, 20, 18 hours of care a day, you know, you're getting £60 a week, which doesn't
£62.70 a week. You could spend that in one whack in a shopping centre and, you know, in your weekly shop.
Exactly. And the needs that you have when you're caring for somebody. So, for example, my mum couldn't just eat ordinary food. She was having to eat special diets. She was needing additional equipment. Additional things around the house that I wasn't able to budget for, that she wasn't able to budget for. And if you earn more than £100 a week in your full-time job, you suddenly are no longer able to claim this carer's benefit. So even if you're working part-time, which is what the government wants you to do, once you're out there working, you have that benefit withdrawn. If the person you're caring for goes into hospital for more than 4 weeks, your carer's benefit gets withdrawn. So there were times where my mum would be readmitted back into hospital. And for those 4 weeks, you know, I would have my money disappearing, but you can't go out and get a job in that time. So there was so much flux and so much difficulty actually planning. And I definitely felt like the job that I was doing wasn't really valued by the government.
Well,
and
speaking of value, speaking of value, how does it make you feel then when we look at the Job Seekers Alliance, which is at around £73 a week? So that's just over a £10 more per week.
Well, I don't think that this is about pitting people against each other, but
But what does it say about how government holds the value of a carer?
Well, I don't think this government values carers at all. I think it's a case of being out of sight and out of mind, because so much caring happens behind closed doors and people don't actually talk about it. And, you know, there's not a lot of complaining going on, because you feel guilty when you actually admit that you're not coping and that you're struggling.
Yeah.
And there is almost like a sense of shame around discussing what you're going through. And
yeah,
I think that subsequent governments have almost capitalized on this and forgotten that carers exist. And in my time having to look after my mum, I met lots of really young carers, you know, kids who are 13, 18, having to look after parents who've got MS. And they didn't even see themselves as carers.
They feel like it's part of their responsibility or their duty. I want to bring in former MLA David McNary at this point. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Vinny.
Tell us about your own situation as regards to you caring for your loved one.
Well, that's a situation I didn't really want to go into in great detail, except that it brought to me an experience that, quite honestly, now that my wife and I and our family realised that we were carers. We were just doing something that was quite natural, and that was looking after somebody who needed care. That was very important to their quality of life. But that initiated actually me to really then talk to people who were carers. And in the end, I brought a bill into Stormont as an MLA, and I thought I had at the time all party support until the SDLP unfortunately blocked it and stopped it. And they blocked it on the basis of parity, in that we couldn't do this because it was breaking the rules of parity that we have on many, many benefits. I took a different view, and I think your callers and your listeners will take the same view, in that basically, Vinny, the country's thriving on cheap labour with these carers, our carers, people who need care for. And I remember saying at the time, and said again, if carers went on strike, the NHS would collapse.
Yeah, it's a very stark picture, David, and it's one of the things that will be echoed as a population. We all get older and we become more reliant on whether it's NHS or our loved ones to look after us. John in Dunamana, good morning, John.
Good morning, how are you?
Not bad. Tell me about your situation, John.
I was a carer for 18 years, my mother. At 27 years of age, I became a carer, and she passed away on the 20th of November 2015. Last 5 years of her life, she had Alzheimer's. I got very little help or support.
And how do you deal with that yourself, John? Because I would assume it feels quite isolating when you... Because, as Adrian was saying, you feel like you can't say, I am struggling here, because it's your loved one, it's your mum, your wife, or your dad. It's someone that you, in theory, should be okay and able to look after.
Of course. At the end of the day, it was left to me. I was the youngest of five in a family, and was there to look after. But it's very, very tough. You lose your you know social life. And I'm now 47, and I now have my own health problems. I have a great problem with sleep. Cannot sleep. And because you were always on edge, you know yourself, with a woman that had dementia for the last 5 years of her life, you're on edge because you don't know where she's going to end up. And as far as money wise and benefit wise goes, as far as I see, and this is very sad for me to say, but the Ulster Unionists, the Democratic Unionists, and the Alliance Party put up no fight at all for carers. It's always Sinn Féin, the SDLP, that actually took the cause for the sick and the vulnerable in society.
Okay, John, we'll have to leave it there. Some of those parties would probably disagree with you. But John, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. We will come back to this, I'm sure, at another point on the programme. I want to say as well, just in reference to David McNary, we don't know in terms of that bill why it didn't make it to legislation. Thanks to Agnes Lunny and to Adrian Peltz as well.